The Mounties believe two teens wanted in connection with three murders in BC that they know of are still in the area of Gillam, Manitoba, small town of 1,200, located in the northern section of that province. It's about 230 kilometers from the Ontario border. It's as remote as it comes. The vegetation is thick. The bears are hungry. The insects, unforgiving.
This is very challenging terrain. This is a large area. There's lots of dense bush, forest, swampy area, so it is very challenging.
The RCMP has confirmed two sightings of the 18-year-old and 19-year-old wanted on a countrywide warrant for second-degree murder. Childhood friends are also suspects in the shooting deaths of an Australian man, his American girlfriend, who were visiting national parks in the country. The RCMP says it has deployed considerable resources to finding the teens, including emergency response team, air services, a crisis negotiation team. Police are also investigating a photograph of Nazi paraphernalia allegedly sent by one of the suspects to another user on a video game network. The pics also show one of the teens pictured in military fatigues, brandishing an airsoft rifle and wearing a gas mask. Both teens most recently logged into their Steam accounts 13 days ago, around the time they told family and friends they were leaving their small Vancouver Island community in search of work. One of them was a frequent, they always get to this point, right? One of them was a frequent player of a shooting game called Russia Battlegrounds. Well, he must be guilty then. He plays shooting games.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about these pictures today. Spent a lot of time on the roundtable talking about whether or not we believe this dad, whether or not this guy, you know, knew an awful lot. And it's really, really hard to try and discern as to, you know, what you want to go with in this situation. I mean, where do you stand with it so far?
I mean, it's, I'm trying to piece this together to see how it's actually going to play out. They're still in the same region. And like we talked yesterday, if they are in that sort of mentality of survivalists and they've been involved in that sort of aspect, they've been out in the fields and the forests and whatnot, I feel like at some point they're just going to go hide. Maybe that's what they've done. They've just gone into the woods for 3 weeks and from there figured it out. Maybe they're going to go out in a hail of gunfire. I'm not sure.
Now, the FBI profiler that was talking to Christy on the Evan Solomon show today, saying what so often happens in a situation like this with two people is you have a leader and you have a follower. And usually when the wheels fall off is when the follower doesn't want to follow the leader anymore. And someone either runs or evades, or there's some sort of altercation. So I guess it could go down that road as well.
It depends who did the shooting, right? Who was responsible for this sort of thing? Were they both equally involved, or was it one who's the one that's more in charge who pulled the trigger?
I got to tell you, when it comes to this next story, I thought more was going to come. Because what was it, a 2-day lead up to this press conference?
Well,
the way the news release read,
it did sound like maybe there was, they talked about closure and this sort of thing. You got the impression maybe they finally had some answers, but we didn't get much from an OPP news conference in Vaughan today. We thought we might finally get the answer to the 20-year-old question, what happened to four seniors who disappeared in the late 90s in the Muskoka region?
I want to be very clear. The OPP is treating this as a homicide investigation. We know the four missing people are not alive.
Instead, well, we got that. They're saying, yes, we think that all of them were murdered, all of these four individuals. But we also received another public appeal for anyone who knows anything about what happened to these people to please come forward. All four, they were aged 73 to 91. They were living in one of three retirement homes, and I use that term loosely. One woman, maybe you've heard about her, the cat lady, was paying $600 a month for a shed that wasn't even insulated.
Inside, there was a single bed piled high with clothing. There was no toilet nor running water. There was a small desk, like you would find in a primary school, with a desk lamp on top.
All the retirement homes run by the same family.
It's important to mention that the former owners of these properties have never cooperated with police.
So the OPP was asked, are some of the family members, are they suspects in connection with these homicides?
It would be disingenuous to say that the lands are not of interest to us.
Police say the owners were previously charged with fraud-related offenses in what he describes as two separate investigations that are relevant to each other, but he's not going to comment on their current legal status.
Checks were cashed long after the death of those confirmed individuals.
That's in relation to the death of 12 other residents. So there were 16 deaths. 12 of them that have been, they were reported essentially as being these retirement homes. As I said, I use that loosely. Mm-hmm. These are the four individuals that they haven't been able to find them. They think they were murdered. And ultimately, as much as I thought we'd get some sort of answer today, instead it was just, help us, please.
Yeah, and when you were talking about this on the show earlier this week, I think you used the OPP said there would be a possible resolution to be discussed, which really gives people the sense that they will have an answer, that there will finally be something to close the book on this mystery that's really troubling.
They said clarity, right?
Right.
But they were vague. It was the vagueness, you know, possible resolution, maybe some clarity, some well, really, there was nothing here. It's just they're hoping to piggyback off of the CBC podcast mm-hmm. that has drawn some attention, and that maybe there's someone out there, an individual who worked in one of these retirement homes, maybe someone, I don't know, I'm going to fill in, you know, near the end of their lives where they're sort of saying, enough already.
Yeah.
I feel I'm on death's door. I'm just going to reveal what I know and what I saw, because what I saw there was I saw an inspector who's been on the case since day one. He was actually one of the individuals that went there early on to, he actually met two of the individuals who disappeared. So I saw a man who, it almost looked like a smirk, but it wasn't a smirk. It was sort of that you're just, you can't stand the fact that you know who has done this, but
right.
you can't come out and say who has done this.
It's almost like we know directly who we're talking to, those same people
Absolutely.
That won't cooperate with police. So we're putting you on notice that we're letting everybody in your orbit know. To step forward and tell
him.
Us.
You could see it was just killing him. He just wanted
to
say.
They're missing that one piece, right?
We know who's behind this.
Yeah.
And then there's also talk that the individuals that they focused on during this news conference, the family that ran the retirement home, that there are concerns they are still involved with seniors, with the elderly in some capacity. So that's also a concern as well. So we'll see if it works. I think in reference to their last story, when it comes to the two teens, the alleged killers, they had received something upwards of 80 tips over the past day or so. So hopefully this spurs that as well, that they just, that's all it ever takes, right? It's the smallest little thread that can lead them to the killers.
Couldn't help but notice when you came into the studio shortly before 6, you had a little bit of a spring in your step. Is that because you have some Kawhi news for us?
No, I really thought I was done with Kawhi. Sort of, okay, you're a Clipper now. You're not ours.
You're dead to me.
You're dead to me. Essentially, you're dead to me. But he's commented today on that famous CP-24 helicopter pursuit earlier this month. Like the OJ Ford Bronco chase scene, our sister station tracked him by helicopter from the airport all the way down to a downtown hotel. It was a bit much, but Leonard spoke with ESPN's The Jump.
I didn't know why they were following me, why a helicopter would be following me, but... you know, it was fans outside the hotel as well. And, you know, they're just excited seeing what's going to happen. I don't know what they were looking for. I wasn't going to come on the hotel and do something amazing, but or make an announcement to everybody at that time. But, you know, that's how Toronto is. They've got an amazing fan base. The experience there was great. Win or lose the championship, I had a lot of fun there.
Kawhi says that's what he told Lowry before the playoffs even began. Win or lose, I've had an amazing year in Toronto. It's funny. It's almost like, we thought he was going to come out onto the street there in, I always mess it up, Yorkville? Was it Yorkville?
Yeah, it's Yorkville.
That he was going to come out and do a dunk contest or something halfway through. Like, thank you for lining up. Now I'm going to show you my three favorite dunks.
At least he didn't call stalkers or something, you know? He's like, great fans. Like, a little too far maybe that day.
Yeah, it's funny when he says, I don't know what they're expecting me to do. Like, he was going to come out in the balcony like Michael Jackson and hold blanket over top of the crowd.
He does have a new child, too.
Here's my new baby. But you can hear it in his voice. Like, I'm sure he was inside of that escalator, whatever was taking him downtown, hearing that helicopter. And thinking, that's, you know,
what's going on?
Is there a police chase somewhere that I don't know about?
Well, here's the thing, too. We talked about this yesterday on The Rush. He's not on social media. So more than likely, Uncle Dennis or whomever, or maybe his wife or someone else, one of his friends that was or family that was in the car, they're on social media being like, yeah, dude, that helicopter's for you. How surreal would that be?
It was an odd
I think
day.
He knows he's a big deal. I don't think anybody has to tell him that.
Yeah, even to see the coverage and the attention he's received since yesterday, all the interviews. And at some point in time, it's just get down to work, start playing basketball and try to win championships now in L.A., which I kind of hoping they don't do. But
I hope he's happy, though, because there's no way that fans are as fanatical for the Clippers in Los Angeles.
How can you be unhappy at $100 million over,
That's
what,
true.
3 years?
Yeah.
I'd be happy.
It's not a tough bargain.
He'd probably be a little happier to be a little bit more incognito, as incognito
and
as a guy
no
like that can
there's no winter in L.A.
Yeah.
Just earthquakes, Marika. we tried to make that argument to get him to stay.
Pick your poison, Jay.
Don't even go down that road. All right. Let's talk about this is really interesting today. This parking enforcement officer. I love that they confronted her. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Like they got all lippy.
Like they don't have a hard enough time doing the job that they're doing.
Yeah, some workers you guys just talked about this as well, but some workers were unsuccessful in convincing a parking enforcement officer that a section of the bike lane on Peter Street in Toronto, no, it's closed today. You see, she's a parking enforcement officer. She knows what's closed and what isn't. You're not going to scam her. So it turns out they had closed the bike lane on Peter without a permit so they could park their trucks there, even move some pylons from another construction zone, made it look all official. They officially have received $150 fines now. I think it was two trucks, so I'm guessing two fines. The officer says, that led to some cursing. Yeah, they were cursing her out, threats of lawsuits if you take my photograph. She still took the photo, just blurred out their faces and posted it online, and that's how George, your producer, passed it along to us, and it was interesting to see. She called it a wonderful start to her day, being cursed out.
I have noticed that parking enforcement officers seem to take pictures every time they write a ticket now.
I think, find that a bit much.
No, I think it's actually smart. I think it actually saves a lot of time. It's like, well, that sign was wrong. Well, no, I have a picture of the sign.
Oh, I get
or
that.
Or I was parked beside X. No, you weren't. I have a picture of that. So I think in every instance, for every single ticket they write, they now have to take a photo of the vehicle. They take a picture of the license plate.
No, it's when they post them. Because there's so many infractions in the city that you don't get publicly ridiculed. You know, people who have their lawn 3 feet high right now that the city never comes around for, they finally do. There's not a photograph and it gets sent out. Look at this deadbeat neighbor, you know, in the neighborhood. That's where it gets to be a little bit much, where it's sort of this public shaming, but only when it comes to this and only bikes.
But, well, it's not only bikes, right? And I do think it's interesting that we see parking enforcement officers be so vocal on Twitter, but I think it also brings attention to an issue. And obviously it's an issue because it's a big talker today. And I think for pedestrians, for drivers, for cyclists, it is annoying. And you just always take for granted, you assume that they do have the right permits. Turns out they don't.
Well, this is something we've been following all year. We've done a number of stories this now. And it's as I said during another newscast, it's just another example of the theme we've been following, that these contractors just essentially, they just go rogue. And I honestly think this is happening more than we could ever really imagine.
Oh, for sure.
If you told me one out of four construction zones are improperly, they have the wrong area blocked off or more than they should have taken. I mean, we're going to talk to someone tomorrow from parking enforcement about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And as a little sneak peek, he had mentioned that, yeah, quite often they'll take a larger area than they should have. And they say, oh, well, I'm allowed to park all my trucks here. Like as if that's what the permit reads, that it's all about your trucks and how many workers you have come in and they can all have a parking spot, when it's not really about that. So I think this is widespread.
But we talked about it on the roundtable, right? And I think Bill raised the point of how difficult is it to get a permit? Right? Are there a lot of hoops that you have to jump through? Is that part of the problem or is it just laziness?
That would be
kind of the other side of the story.
Yeah, I'd like to actually see what it does take. Are they just handing them out all the time?
Well, we came up with the solution on the show. We did it live. I was very proud of myself and Scott. All you really need to do is have city-issued pylons that are a special color with a special stamp on them. And as part of getting your permit, you get the official City of Toronto pylons, which, by the way, when you return, you get your deposit back on. So then they get to reuse them again. This fills up the city coffers, and then inspectors and bike cops, when they drive by, they know what's real and they know what's not.
Put GPSs in them as well, and then you can actually look online to see whether they've gone beyond the area they're supposed to have or not.
Yeah,
not in the proper
area. It's like
tracking
snowplows.
This is a brain trust.
See, we've solved it.
It's a total brain trust. Smartest people in the world. We're going to solve all the world's ills.
Well, I told you, even when it comes to, we've talked about this, landscapers and whatnot, how many times I'll drive by down a narrow street, only two lanes, and some landscaping company is just
up on the curb.
Well, not even up in the, yeah, that's also bad, blocking the sidewalk, but sometimes just blocking that one lane that's headed in that direction. But they put out those two little Home Depot pylons, the old school ones. Oh, well, it's official now. Of course you must have the right permits. You
You're
have
right.
the little
they
mini pylon.
They got that from the playground or something.
Yeah, from the people that brought you, but he had a clipboard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 6:15. Just when we're past the trauma that was Ding Ding.
Well, Ding. Yep, the trauma of Ding Ding's dog napping still dominating discussions. Word from Toronto police of another stolen pet, another stolen Ding Ding. There was a dog napping almost 2 weeks ago. So they're just, I'm imagining that the people, their dog stolen, saw all the Ding Ding coverage and called up police and said, hey, Ding Dong, why aren't you doing enough about our story? So suddenly we get a release today. 2 weeks ago, at Church Carlton neighborhood, the Loblaws there, 4-month-old white and black husky named Gucci was tied to a post while the owner went inside to shop at the store there. There's your first mistake. Don't do that. A couple walking by. And the odd part is when you see the picture of these individuals, they just look like this normal couple. There's nothing, and I'm not trying to categorize them. Nothing seedy about them or not. It just looks like they're passing by. Oh, they untie the dog and take the dog. They steal it. So the man's described as white in his 30s, slim build, blonde hair, clean shaven. The woman, white in her 30s, slim build, blonde hair. Sounds like the same person. She was wearing glasses, cream-colored patterned blouse, and white jeans. Your best bet is head over to our website. It's actually a pretty clear photo of them. There's two of them. I imagine if you knew that person, you'd be like, oh, my God, that's Susan. What is she doing? So go check it out and rat them out, the dog thieves.
Okay, but do you think, are you suggesting that the owners kind of had it coming because they left the dog out?
Yeah, a little bit.
You and Jay are really on the same page on
legal
this one.
Legal or illegal to leave your dog outside of a store?
I'm going to say illegal.
It actually is.
Wow, okay.
In Toronto, illegal to leave your dog tied up and unattended in public. If you have a reactive dog towards dogs, people, cars, squirrels, my dog, anything at all, also my dog, leaving him outside the store allows him, her, to practice the behaviors you don't like, such as barking, lunging, snarling, growling, etc., or someone can just walk up and steal it. So if you leave your dog outside of a store unattended, you're an idiot. And I'm really sorry you got it stolen, but again, refer to column A. Idiot.
I disagree.
Have you lost a dog that way?
I have not. I would be chased out of here right now. But no, I understand why it is not in your best interest to leave a dog outside. But if you do, you don't, your karma is not to have your dog stolen.
No, I get that because I always hate that our society immediately jumps to who's in second place that should be blamed instead of the thieves who stole the dog. So yes, they're to blame, but you get an assist when you just think it's the dog's. I mean, it happens. I don't think it happens all the time because we don't do that many stories about this, but it happens. You know what's going to come out now? Watch. If there's some company out there with a dog security system that you time to the pole outside a store.
Someone's going to go to the bank on this.
Yeah, you'll be rich from that.
Like something that goes into their...
Siren goes off or something. Yeah, or even your phone starts buzzing. Yeah, your dog's being stolen.
Right.
I just like that we've moved on from Spot and...
to Gucci.
And Polka Dot or whatever you call your dogs
to Gucci,
Gucci
and Ding
and Ding. Ding.
Yeah.
Times
Ding
have changed.
Ding. I'm getting a dog just so I can name it Ding Ding.
It just really allows for fun writing.
It does.
For the news. All right, let's talk LCBO.
Yep, OPSU demanding a meeting with the chairman of LCBO. The union wants one right away to discuss the distribution problems that have plagued and created shortages on store shelves this summer. It says employees warned the LCBO a new distribution system was hastily rolled out before it was ready to go. What do you want, a Hero Biscuit? Okay, you warned them. It thinks the two-week timetable for fixing this issue, not a realistic one. Union is also worried alcohol sales will be, here's what it's really about, concerned that alcohol sales will be privatized at some point, wants some answers about the future of the LCBO. President Smokey Thomas says an information vacuum is creating speculation among workers, we're guessing, because I'm not speculating about this, that the distribution fiasco is a deliberate pretext to justify full-fledged privatization.
My fear is that this is maybe some kind of a plan to, you know, the Tories have been guilty of this in the past, in the Mike Ears era, make public services not work. They would change them up, change them around, make them not work, and then say, see, they don't work, and then get rid of them.
Conspiracy afoot. Watch out.
I don't know. I think the government wants its money from the LCBO too much to do that.
It's true. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, and what a time to, you know, aside from Christmas, is there a busier time at the LCBO than summertime?
No, and that's what's the funny thing about the whole testing out the distribution system was the aspect of it was just right in that full on, what was it, early June?
July long. Yeah.
Yeah. That you just, why would you try it then? Find a dead time of year.
You do it in dry January.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
when everybody's, air quotes, taking a month off from drinking.
That wouldn't help me.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
I'm drunk now.
This one continues. Really? Seriously? There's a Cosby story.
Yeah, well, why not? Everybody, a lot of people know Janice Dickinson, the model. She's accepted a settlement in her defamation case against Bill Cosby. Nothing on how much money she got, that confidentiality agreement they all signed. Her lawyer says Dickinson is being compensated for being branded a liar by Cosby and his representatives. She claims Cosby drugged and raped her back in 1982, and he certainly paid her off. So, well, there you go. And also, Cosby's currently serving 3 to 10 in a prison in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and then she's not the first one to accept a settlement.
I like that. We need to see that with presidents in the U.S., that the same sort of approach, that when you say erroneous things and you lie about someone and factual things, that they come after you, and then you have to pay them money to shut them up.
Yeah, it's called accountability.
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. Yeah, she got... or lawyer.
The amount of people just,
that went sideways.
Yeah, the amount of people that if you just went back through Donald Trump's Twitter feed, the amount of people that he's branded as crazy, as lunatic, slow-witted, like, man, get the checkbook out.
Yeah, I hope so.
Jay's story today for you, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, Troy Tulowitzki will finally stop collecting millions of dollars for coming up lame every season. Former Blue Jay, former Yankees infielder now, is hanging up his cleats. He's retiring after a 14-year career, of which he played about 7 seasons in total. 34-year-old appeared in just 5 games this season due to, a calf injury. He missed all of last year, but that didn't stop him from collecting that paycheck. Tulo, 5-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glove winner, and probably the all-time greatest bench rider.
Whoa.
Yeah, you
you say good riddance.
Oh, my God. It was such a bad trade.
Isn't that amazing when you look at superstar contracts when just literally rounding first the wrong way can put you on the DL for 6 or 8 months, but you still get paid, you know, $275,000 a week.
Yeah, and the athletes always go back to, you hear this a lot in the NFL, it goes back to, if you suddenly don't want my services as a running back in the NFL, for example, it happens quite often, you're going to dump me in a moment. And so suddenly I'm not, only so much of that contract's guaranteed. So they would side on it with the athlete here to say, yeah, it goes both ways. If you can dump me in a moment's notice, well, then you pay me when I'm injured all the time.
Do you remember how school insurance used to work when you were a little kid? Did you guys get that they'd send out like a piece of paper that would go, I love how your eyebrows, you're like, where are you going with this? I'll show you where I'm going. What? Back in elementary school, you used to be able to get school insurance if anything happened to you on the playground. And as kids, we'd all look at it and go, how much do I get if I lost a thumb? How much do I get if I got burned?
I don't think I got that.
We did. I grew up in Alberta. And you take it on your parents, and they would decide how much insurance they would take out on you. In my parents' case, none, which tells you a lot. And I always thought that would be interesting for athletes as well. Like, you got a certain amount of money. You blow out your knee, you get X.
Yeah.
If you get you hurt anything else, you know, your neck or your elbow or your wrist or you break fingers, you get Y. You don't get full freight. It's prorated a certain amount, isn't it? But it should be even lower.
Or the team pays into it. And if a player goes out, they say, okay, we'll cover half his salary.
It's like an insurance. Yeah. Insurance. Huh? No, you're not liking that. Marika's not.
No, I think people already do that.
You think that the way the athletes' contracts are loaded up, is that's already happening?
No, I think the athletes can get like personal insurance for that.
They can. Some, I know, really? Actors.
Actors and models, yeah.
Like a Lloyds of London thing. You mean I could like a
picture? Like you could insure your voice.
Okay. That's great. Good to know.
Drew is waving at you.
Fine. All right. You can always talk to me. You know the button. Or are you waving at me because you need insurance? No, you want me to shut up. I get it.
I would like for you to shut up, please.
I would like for me to shut up as well, but I just can't seem to stop talking. The way you are dating has changed immensely, not for the better. We'll tell you why when the rush continues.